In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. What is going on here today? Every Sunday, something else. What is up with that new rector? Just never know what will happen next. And I just want to say, isn't that just like what it is to follow Jesus? If you keep walking, you just never know what will happen next. Today, I'm here to announce that we are beginning our community retreat. Did you know we were going on retreat? All together?
No.
We are. Guess for how long? 49 days. Woo! So hang on tight. This is the last Sunday after the Epiphany, which every year, no matter how many Sundays are in the season of Epiphany, the last Sunday of Epiphany is Transfiguration Sunday. So here we are. Until about 800 years ago, the church began the great 100 days on this day, Transfiguration Sunday, day one. Day 100, the day of Pentecost, for 46 days, Lent. For 3 days, the sacred Triduum. For 50 days, Eastertide. We are going old school at St. Paul's this year. We are starting the great 100 days today, and we are beginning our community retreat. What are we going to do on retreat? We're going to discern together. Because until about 800 years ago, the church gathered in congregations, place to place, would, beginning on Transfiguration Sunday, began a time of intentional community discernment, kind of like a community retreat. And in that period, we would reflect as a congregation on what was out of alignment, what had gotten out of kilter since the last time around, what needs to be let go of, what needs to be taken up. Today we're going to sit with that question of what needs to be let go of and start edging toward what needs to be taken up. We'll consider some different questions as we go along. Today, thinking of that gospel, Luke's account of the transfiguration of Jesus the Christ on a mountain, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in a different way. We could say they saw what had been there all along, and yet when they saw it, he was transfigured in their sight. Jesus the Christ is transfigured. We ourselves, as we walk in his company and that of one another, are being transformed, changed from one thing into another. Transformation for us, from one thing into another, from glory to glory, as both today's collect and the second reading from 2 Corinthians say. We have taken a very practical approach. You can consider it a metaphor as well as an offering. Yesterday's ABC sale was a tremendous success, raising, as of service time, hold on, $7,038. Every penny is going to a place in Haiti called Bondo, and you're going to hear more about that momentarily. We have, if you will, with God's help, transformed a bunch of stuff we all needed to let go because it no longer served us and have transformed it by God's grace into something mighty useful. Over $7,000 so far, which will make a big difference for some people in a place that's no farther away from here than is the city of Miami, but whose lives in that place are quite different. Luke's account says Peter, James, and John were weighed down with sleep. What are you weighed down with? What else, besides all that furniture we liquidated yesterday, are we weighed down with? Stuff that no longer serves, stuff we need to let go. And leading to the next question, what do we need to take up? On that first Sunday of the 100 days, the great 100 days, Transfiguration Sunday, it was the custom that from that day until Maundy Thursday, the bishop, who was local at that time, basically the rector or the pastor of the congregation in that place, the bishop would lay down their crozier, their crook, sign of their authority, and join the congregation, discerning together for those 40-some days. Today we began that together. I'm inviting my dear friend, the Reverend Sam Owen, to come and tell you about something we might take up even further than an ABC sale. And I'm going to follow the example of our Christian forebears on this first day of the great 100 days and take my seat among you to hear from him.
From the Haitian Episcopal Church of the Good Samaritan in the Bronx and the Good Samaritan Episcopal Church in Bondo, Haiti. We are in the Bronx, supportive of the church in Bondo, although the names aren't, even though they're the same, they don't necessarily relate. I'm going to tell you a little of my story of how God called me to serve the people of Haiti and also to spread the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ throughout the U.S., but also in Haiti. And so this is such a blessing. And I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you to each of you for your hospitality this week. Padre Donna, thank you for your hospitality and your love for my family and me. We've been staying in the rectory for a few days, and it's been quite fun. Staying on Duval Street is no joke. So we've had a nice time. So I had been going to Haiti for a few years before the earthquake hit in 2010, but that year I was in seminary, I'm a second career priest, with my wife, then study buddy, Jenny, and I went to Haiti a few days after that horrible earthquake, and it was traumatizing, and I sat with the question of daily asking God in prayer, how can I help the people of Haiti? And so I ended up in this tiny village, which is on the northern coast of the southern peninsula of Haiti, also quite close to the epicenter of these two recent earthquakes. There was one in August that you heard about, I'm sure. There was also one just a couple of weeks ago, a 5.3 earthquake. And so this is an area where I've been going back regularly, multiple times a year, with COVID not so much, but I have friends there, and these are people that are fellow Episcopalians, and one of the beauties of the Episcopal Church is that we are building a bridge of love between the U.S. and Haiti through the Episcopal Church. If you didn't speak a word of Creole or a word of French, and you were sitting in an Episcopal Church in Haiti during service, you would know exactly, if you're an Episcopalian, where you are in the service. It's exactly the same. The language is different. Even the hymns have the same melody with French lyrics. So, we built a playground in one of our early visits, and we've done a lot of other work there. And you hear the headlines of the shocking things of assassinations and famine and earthquake and floods and hurricanes and all of that, but there's more. to the story. And what's more is the resilience of the Haitian people in the face of adversity. And when they have nothing, what they have is God. And so one of the things that we get as Americans going down there is what faith looks like when you have nothing else. So this has been, for me and for many others in the U.S., a very faith-filled experience of being, having the privilege of being called to serve alongside the people of Haiti. Not to save them, because we're not their savior. They have a savior, and his name is Jesus. It's not named me or anyone else. So, but we're there to be with them. The children, when they go to church, they run to church. And they, the church is very important to the Haitian people. In fact, when we ask them, what do they want us to do with them? How can we be with them? They said two things that they wanted. One was clean water, and the other was a church, because they were worshiping inside of one of the classrooms. I have so many stories of young people like this young man named Gibson, who, when I first met him, was kind of a cranky preteen. Now he's head of the Acolytes. He plays trombone in the orchestra. He wants to be a priest. He's a remarkable young man, and he has been formed by the church. This was the classroom where we used to worship, and it was fine, but it was too small. It was cramped. And so in 2011, the Bishop of Haiti laid the first stone for what would then be the new sanctuary. And so we did fundraising for that, and I worked closely with my partner priest down there, whose name is Jean-Bethel Fanon. And Father Fanon is my brother in Christ, he and I have built a very close relationship. And I say that because the relationship that we have together is what makes, in my opinion, this ministry successful. Father Fanon's yes is yes, his no is no. He is a man of integrity. And so Gastina is another young woman who was dying of starvation when we met her in 2010. And you can tell because of the reddish hair that she has. But this is a few years later. Here she is on the right. And here she is in her confirmation in 2015. So she's a remarkable young woman. She too wants to become a priest. And then Cynthia, when she saw the playground, she'd never seen a swing set before, and it was very exciting. So the young boy standing in the middle, Benjamin and his sister on our right, is Angie. Here they are a couple of months ago. So these are kids that have grown up. And I say all these stories because this is what really it's about. It's about the future. And so Haiti, you could say, and this was my question when I first started being invited to go down there. I said, why do we need to go to Haiti when there's poor people in need just a few blocks away? And the answer that I got was, first, go, come and see. You have to see Haiti. And second, it's both. Global mission is important just as local mission is important. And I want to say thank you to you all, because you all, with this just over $7,000 that you gave, you fulfilled really what Jesus was preaching about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, when he said, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You knew it was for Haiti, but you didn't know like some of the specifics. So that is true giving. This is the church that we built. It's about the same size as this sanctuary. It's stunningly beautiful. They fill it on a regular basis. I took this picture in October because of the rainbow that's over on the left side. When they have big services, they invite the churches from the area. And so all the priests, all the choirs, the bishop, they close their churches on that Sunday when there's a feast day, and they all go and support each other. So here's the orchestra that was paid for with the instruments were bought with a grant from the United Bank offering. The school serves from pre-K up to high school, over 300 students. And we believe education is important for the future of being able to address this issue of crippling poverty and inequality. And that's where we are placing our hope. Our hope is in Jesus, But Jesus is calling us to help support the school. So the orchestra plays the national anthem as they raise the flag every morning at school. The two things that they are current, that the South Florida Haiti Project is currently raising money for, it's the kindergarten, for a new building for the kindergarten, and to repair the guest house, which was damaged in the August earthquake. So my friend Rick had fun with the little kids, and you can see how close the earthquake in August was, and then the earthquake in January was even closer. So I say all this to say, Thank you for your support of and your consideration of what we're doing in Haiti. I'm gonna stop by asking two things. One is continue to pray for Good Samaritan Episcopal Church and School in Bondo, Haiti. Put it in your regular intercessory prayers. The other is, in addition to this one-time donation that you made, which we are so grateful for, consider this beginning of a beautiful friendship with the people of Bondo, and consider making a five-year pledge of support. You would be joining other parishes in South Florida, which would include Boca Raton, Delray Beach, Palm Beach, Miami, Tequesta. There's about a dozen churches in the South Florida Haiti Project that are involved in this. Palm Beach Gardens is another one. And in a way that you're able to do global mission at a level that you would not be able to do individually. That's the power of this, leveraging the community of the Diocese of Southeast Florida. God bless you. Thank you. And please keep the people of Haiti in your prayers.